Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Got a great show for you today. As always, I'm your trusty host, Neil Horwitz. Get more info on the podcast and see other episodes at dsmsports.net. And, of course, the podcast is also available through the iTunes podcast app as well as now Stitcher Radio, very new. I've got a great show for you today. We are talking to the fan engagement and social media coordinator for the West Michigan Whitecaps, Jason Brower. The West Michigan Whitecaps are the single-A affiliate for the Detroit Tigers and are really well known for a lot of their promotions, which are make a lot of buzz throughout the minor leagues and really sports business in general, especially some of their more unusual food items. So we're going to talk to Jason about how they come up with all those promotional gimmicks and how they really capitalize on some of those food items and promotional nights that go viral. But before we get to our conversation with Jason today, we have this episode's helpful tool. And this episode's helpful tool is something that you are likely familiar with, but maybe don't utilize enough as a useful tool, and that is the iOS top searches for apps. Now, when you go to the App Store and you go to click search, say you're searching for a particular app, maybe you're looking for the West Michigan Whitecaps mobile app, as they do have one, and you can see a list of top searches for the App Store during the most recent time period. It's a great underutilized way to see which apps are taking off currently. You can discover new apps that people are using to share photos, to share messaging, or just some new game apps people are discovering, and really helps you keep your finger on the pulse of what's the latest and greatest apps out there. There's always new apps popping up that can serve a lot of use for folks working in the digital and social space and sports, whether it's a photo editing app or something that integrates with some social networking. It's really a good way to keep on top of what the most popular new apps are out there or what the most popular apps are still. Like, you'll see Periscope is still pretty high up there. Waze as well for its navigation map system. So definitely take a look at that iOS top searches for apps. Go to the App Store once a day, once every other day, even if you're not searching for a particular app, and see what's the latest and greatest apps. Look at the top apps. Look at what people are searching for. And you may discover some helpful tools yourself. So that's the episode's helpful tool. Check out the top searches in the iOS App Store. All right, we'll be right back to have a really fun conversation, one that might make you a little hungry at times, with Jason Brower coming right up. All right, that was this episode's helpful tool. It's not the most unusual tool. Just looking at the top searches for apps in the iOS App Store can really give you some good insight into what's worth checking out these days. But we're not talking mobile apps today too much. We have a really fun interview planned. We have a great guest, Jason Brower, fan engagement and social media coordinator for the West Michigan Whitecaps. They are a single-A affiliate of the Detroit Tigers, and we are really psyched to have Jason on the podcast today. So welcome to the podcast, Jason.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I've been an avid listener to your podcast, so it's nice to be a guest at this point.
Much obliged. Well, Jason, before we get into our conversation today, give our fans a little background on yourself, how you got into your sort of dream job today, and any tips you have along the way.
Sure. Started out, I'll go back to college. I went to Grand Valley State University here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and really didn't know where I was headed. I actually started out in engineering at Grand Valley, kind of went through that and changed majors a few times to then end up in general business, and that's what my degree is in at Grand Valley. And had to have an internship for that major, so I end up getting an internship with the Grand Rapids Griffins, the AHL hockey team here in town, in their ticket sales department. So we went through that process and really enjoyed the sports business side of that, and kind of knew that was the path I was going to head down. And then kind of from there, ended up over here at the Whitecaps with another internship, actually a dual internship here at the Whitecaps. I was half operations, half ticket operations. So it kind of got both sides of the business, the outside, working in the ballpark, getting things ready for the game, and then went in the box office to sell individual tickets in the box office in each game and helping them out throughout the day.
Wow. Was there a point when you were at Grand Valley when you realized that sports was where you wanted to try to make a business career, or did it just happen to be that internship that led you down that path?
I think the internship was probably the biggest one. I did take two or three sports business classes while I was at Grand Valley, but my main focus was just general business. I took some general marketing classes. But yeah, definitely the internship. Once I got my foot in the door there, definitely knew that that's where I wanted to be.
Very cool. And it sounds like you really got a lot of good experience in a number of departments. What would sort of be your advice for people that really want to make themselves valuable and allow them to find a career in the sports business industry?
Yeah, I think especially in minor league baseball, it's most front offices are quite small, so you get any internship that you can get in minor league sports, you're going to get all aspects of the business, from operations, from concessions to ticket sales. Pretty much any internship, you're going to be able to see all of that and just gain the knowledge overall through those internships.
Cool. Yeah, definitely great advice that the minor leagues is really where you can get a lot of hands-on great experience that will fuel you throughout your sports career. So good advice, and Jason definitely playing out what he preaches, practicing what he preaches. But Jason, tell me a little about how your role sort of evolved then with the Whitecaps. You got in there and started, sounds like you did a lot of sales, a lot of marketing as well. And tell me how it sort of evolved into the social media and fan engagement coordinator role.
Sure. After my internship, I came on as a full-time sales assistant. So I worked in the advertising department, doing fulfillment of all the advertising, all the signs around the ballpark, program ads, that kind of thing. And then as I was in that for about 2 years, and then kind of saw an opportunity, was kind of looking around, see what my next step was going to be. And kind of saw the opportunity for social media within the club. We had our marketing director was kind of doing a little tweeting, some Facebook, but not really anybody that did it full time. So I took that over, kind of within my sales assistant job title, and then that kind of formed into over the last 2 or 3 years of. Something that the organization was really looking for and wanted to get more into the social media side. So this past off season, they created this fan engagement social media coordinator position for me, and I moved over there this off season and had our first game within that that title this last weekend.
Oh, that's awesome! Tell me, it's definitely unique, or not necessarily unique, but. Worth noting that you came from a sales and marketing background, whereas some others might come from a more PR background. Do you think that's helped you have a little more of a marketing perspective and of how to really use that social engagement to drive business for the Whitecaps?
Definitely, yeah. I've definitely seen, working in the sales, working with the advertising executives, kind of see how they sell stuff, and but also seeing how my job within social media can help them with some advertising within social media, but also seeing, the marketing side and how we're marketing towards our fans.
Is that the case throughout minor league baseball from your observation? Is social media really seen as an arm of the marketing team, or is it more, for most cases, more just a PR tool?
From what I've seen, it's definitely more of a marketing piece in minor league baseball. It's it's interacting with your fans. But it's also getting the word out. It's just getting the word out and promotions coming up, ways to buy tickets and fun events that we have coming up at the ballpark. Social media is becoming a quick and easy way to get that word out.
So, let's elaborate on that a little bit, Jason. because it's minor league baseball and you're not necessarily able to see highlights on MLB Network every night or SportsCenter, how valuable does social media really become as a really almost a primary way of reaching fans?
It does. I work very closely with our marketing director. He's my immediate supervisor, so we're very close and kind of planning out how we're going to reach our fans through social media. We have an email newsletter that we send out each week that's under my job title. And using those different things to try and reach our fans is definitely a key piece for us. We obviously still do the radio and the billboards, but the social, along with the digital website, email, newsletter, that kind of stuff is becoming more of a factor for us.
And obviously, that I'm sure that goes into the role that you have gained for this season as well. And how has it really evolved within the organization? Has social media really taken on a more valuable role? When you guys are discussing campaigns and marketing and business objectives, is social media now one of the primary things you discuss, or is it still sort of a let's make sure that social is supporting what we're doing on the radio, on TV, with outdoor ads, etc.?
I think just making this full-time position has shown that it's definitely more of a factor for us. I'm in it on most of the info that comes out through, if it's ticket sales packages, new packages that are coming, I get that info. If it's marketing plans that we have for the year, I get that kind of info. Any advertising things that they want to promote on social, I get all that info and try to push it out to our fans through social media.
And what are some of the bigger objectives that you are really trying from a day-to-day, post-to-post basis even? I mean, obviously, not every post is going to be salesy or advertising, I hope. It's a lot of it's just content marketing. But are you guys always looking at how are we driving ticket sales, how are we driving sponsorships, and really using social media as a way to drive revenue? Or is it still mostly just an engagement tool, hoping it'll turn into revenue down the road?
Sure. For us, our main objective is obviously always to get people in seats. Like you said, every post has got to be, it's got to be interactive. It's got to be a big thing for us. It's got to be shareable. A main reason for all of our posts is how do we make it fun, interactive, and get people to share it. And with minor league baseball, it's a little easier because we do have the fun. We have the entertainment every night. So fans do want to share it with their friends and show them how much fun they do have at the ballpark.
Such a huge part of social is getting the fans to really be the voice and sharing the content and drive that sort of fear of missing out with their friends and family. And I think that's a really awesome part of minor league sports in general, is that you don't have these big deals with RSNs and TV networks and such, that it really does come down to how you can maximize the fans in the seats and driving revenue with partnership activations as well. And how does that sort of play into the way minor league baseball has to think of every single game as being an unforgettable experience and really being ahead of the curve when it comes to their counterparts in professional sports, major pro sports?
Oh yeah, it's huge for us, and in minor league baseball and minor league sports in general. One of our GMs has a line: every day is opening day. Somebody's coming out the ballpark. It's gonna be their first time here tonight, tomorrow. It's gonna be their first time at the ballpark. So we want to make it memorable for them. We want to make it exciting, that something that they remember, and hopefully that they'll come back and. But also share their excitement with their friends, with their family, and maybe next time they'll bring them out.
And it's definitely cool to see how major pro sports, Major League Baseball in this case, is starting to really look to the minor leagues to see how are they engaging fans, how are they making every game day like opening day, like you spoke to. And I think, the Whitecaps do a great job of that and are a great example for other teams to emulate. So where do you guys get your ideas from when it comes to making sure every game is unique and has a promotional value to it for fans? Are you guys emulating other teams in minor league baseball? Are you guys looking at
stuff that's worked in the past? How are those brainstorm meetings happening? I'm sure they're a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, they're definitely a lot of fun. And our ideas probably come from all of the above. We do see what other teams are doing. We have a promotional seminar through Minor League Baseball every off season that we go down and get to talk about the fun promotions that other teams have done throughout the year. And then we have our own individual brainstorming sessions throughout the off season. What's new? What's coming up? Is there a reunion or something coming? Is there a new movie coming out? Those kind of things are what drive our ideas. And then other times it's just somebody just has an idea that comes to their head. Hey, let's try and do this. What do you think we can do? And then shoot it around the office, see what other people think, and if we think it works, we'll go with it.
I would love to have a podcast just with you telling about all the ideas that didn't make it through the meeting. Some of those.
Oh yeah.
Ones.
Yeah, I'm definitely sure. There's some good ones there.
but tell me about how nimble can the team be, and how nimble must they be? Are some promotions requiring a lot more time in advance, whether it's a giveaway and then having to make sure that all the ballpark game presentation is on par, and then how much can just be, let's, you know, this is popular now, let's jump on it and get a promotional game going next week?
Yeah, I think both are definitely possible. For us, when we do a promotional night, we want to do it all out, so it does take a little more planning. I'll give an example of like a Princess Day. We did it last year, and we're going to do it again this year. But you want to go all out on that kind of stuff. You want to have a giveaway that associates with it. You want to have your between promos that have a princess theme or a princess and pirate theme. And then so everything at the ballpark that night is that theme. And that obviously takes a lot of planning. With our promotions manager and our marketing department overall.
And are you guys then targeting your marketing to a certain group and demographic? If you have a princess night, are you then expecting the ballpark to have a lot more, say, moms and little daughters in the ballpark that night? Or is it really just trying to find a different promotion every game that will make it fun no matter who you are?
Yeah, I think it's both. Yeah, each promotion is kind of geared toward different people. Yeah, obviously, Princess Night, we're looking for the daughters and the moms. But yeah, we also want it to be fun for everybody. So yeah, along those lines, yeah, we do different promotions for different groups. Yeah, we'll have Princess Night, but then we'll also have a Star Wars night. We'll have a superhero night. So we try to. If we're going to do one, we're going to try and reach as many people as possible.
How does that play out in practice? How do you guys try to make Princess Night still appealing for the Star Wars geeks?
Sure. I think just making it entertaining. Maybe Princess isn't what you're into, but the between promotions are going to be fun. We're going to have fun videos on the scoreboard or on the video board, and just the overall experience throughout the game and throughout the years is what we hope people come back for.
Certainly, at the end of the day, if there's fun content, if it's shareable, it'll get fans engaged and they'll get into it. I think, and you know what, there's always Princess Leia for those Star Wars geeks.
Exactly.
Well, let's keep going down this notion of these promotional gimmicks and some of the more esoteric things and fun things that the minor leagues do, especially the Whitecaps. When you guys see something like a Star Wars night get a lot of attention on national media, or especially you guys are really known for some of your crazy food offerings. I mean, the Fifth Third Burger, and I'll let you definitely talk about some food in particular as
sure.
We go. But what is it? Do you pat yourself on the back when you see a tweet go viral or a picture go viral on Facebook? Or how do you guys really start to value those things in terms of how it actually drives your objectives of ticket sales and sponsors?
Right. I think it's definitely valuable. Yeah, it's always cool to get a tweet that gets a bunch of retweets or things like that. But yeah, it's also important for us to make sure we're reaching the right people. If it's getting retweeted by people in Texas or California or wherever, that really doesn't help us that much with our objectives of getting people to the ballpark. We want to reach fans here in West Michigan or around the Michigan area and try to get them to the ballpark. It's always cool to get the extra attention, we definitely want to get people here and get the interest of the people in West Michigan.
How do you guys seek to track that or get value from that? When you get retweeted or tweeted about by, say, like a Darren Revelle or whatnot, do you run to your boss and say, hey, check it out, we just got, you know, this many more impressions on this tweet now, we got a retweet from Darren Revelle, and does he go, awesome, or does he go, so what, here's how we have to look at it?
Sure. Again, I think it's kind of both. We're all excited when we get a Darren Revelle retweet for sure. I think with that, it kind of shows that we're kind of doing what we want. If it's a food item, it kind of shows that, hey, that food item actually works and is getting people's attention. On the same note, if it's not reaching the right fans that are going to come to the ballpark, it's a little less exciting.
And are you guys trying your best to track that stuff on the back end, whether it's looking at website traffic from the local area, looking at social media growth and engagement from fans that are actually local, or are you guys really don't have the resources in place to get that deep with data dives?
Yeah, I don't think we're quite there yet. I would love to be there. I'm definitely a numbers guy, but I don't think we're quite there yet on the different demographic impressions and things like that. We look more. It's kind of our bottom line of how many people come to the games, and that's what we look at the most.
How about just some of the softer metrics, I guess? Are you seeing that when, going back to this example, when Darren Revelle tweets out a crazy food idea or a promotional idea that the Whitecaps are putting in place, do you guys see a jump in followers, a jump in engagement on Facebook, on Twitter, and on your website and elsewhere?
Yeah, that's something I definitely look at is kind of where our followers are. Again, if they're not the right followers, it's not a huge deal, but impressions overall, likes and shares on Facebook are huge for us because those are the kind of things that we know that our fans are sharing it, so they must be enjoying it and sharing it with their friends, so hopefully they become Whitecaps fans and come out to the games.
Certainly, and I did want to ask also then, how do you guys look at a crazy food offering or a promotional gimmick when you guys are in the planning process? Is it a combination of what's going to get the most shares virally, you say, on digital and social media? Or is it really how is this going to get more fans out to the ballpark at the end of the day? Is, you know, as crazy as a Fifth Third Burger or Star Wars night might seem, but I mean, those might work with fans. But let's say there's something else that might work really well from a virality perspective, but may not drive as many butts in the seats. Or are those questions being asked when you guys are planning these out?
Yeah, I think those are definitely being asked. Every time we look at a new food item, it's first, are people going to purchase it? Are they gonna want to eat it? That's huge for us. If people aren't going to buy it, we're not going to keep it around. That's probably first and foremost is are people going to buy it? And probably secondly is it exciting? Is it going to come up? Is it going to get people to come up to the ballpark just to see somebody else eat it or something like that, like the Fifth Third Burger?
So are there examples of food ideas or promotional gimmicks that really hit extremely well on digital and social from a virality perspective or sharing perspective, but maybe fell a little more flat when it came to how it worked in real life in terms of putting butts in seats and getting sales from concessions?
Yeah, I'm sure we've had a few. maybe the Baco was an example. We had that 2 years ago. It was the bacon shell taco, it was a huge hit from media wise. We had some national attention on that one. It's was taken off the menu this year because it just wasn't people weren't purchasing it, but also the cost overall was going up on that one. Those are the kind of things we look at is cost. The costs keep going up and people aren't increasingly purchasing it, then it's probably not going to make it.
No, I mean, definitely interesting case study there to think that it drives all those views and a lot of traffic, which anything with bacon seems to do these days. But if it's not creating more revenue for the team, then axe it, and that's what you guys did. So really interesting. And before we move on, even Jason, if we keep on talking about the Fifth Third Burger, tell our listeners what the Fifth Third Burger is, that monstrosity.
Oh yeah, the Fifth Third Burger we created in 2009, and it is. It has 5 1/3 pound hamburger patties on it, which makes up the 5/3. And then it has lettuce, tomatoes, cheddar cheese, sour cream, Fritos, and then all on a 8-inch custom-made sesame seed bun. It comes in like a small pizza box, so you can kind of understand how big it is. So yes, small pizza box size.
Needless to say, not something for someone that's on a diet.
definitely not. It's been fun seeing how that's lasted. So yeah, like I said, we started in 2009, and people are still talking about it to this day, and people are still coming out and getting it. We have the Fifth Third Burger Challenge. If somebody eats it all the way through before the seventh inning, they win a T-shirt. And we still have at least one, maybe a few each game that people try and do that. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's been definitely cool to see.
And an understated part too is a great way to get the Fifth Third name out there more for Fifth Third Bank. Have you guys had other sponsors say, "Hey, do you want to name a food after us?"
Yeah, I'm sure we've had it asked. I don't think we've had it happen, but we've had a few different items. We had our swimming pig, which actually we turned into one of our mascots, which started out as a sponsored sandwich. Fifth Third Bank, they're our title sponsor for our ballpark, so yeah, they were a major factor in the kind of introducing that, and kind of they were in on the whole idea process before we started the Fifth Third Burger as well.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome to know. Let's transition briefly before we get to the episode shareable stat, having a great conversation with Jason Brower, fan engagement and social media coordinator for the West Michigan Whitecaps. Tell me about how you guys really have to market a little bit differently than, say, a major pro sports team that has at least somewhat of a more stable roster. I mean, when you guys have a star player who's killing it, that just means that he's probably going to not be there much longer because he's too good for the league. How do you guys sort of market your star players, but not too much, given that they might be moved up soon?
Sure. Well, kind of one of our mantras around here is along those lines is we don't do baseball, we do entertainment. So it's more about the entertainment, about the fan experience at the games. When we do get a top prospect, like a Derek Hill this year or a Nick Castellanos, something like that, it definitely helps us out. We're more focused on the fan experience at the ballpark, making sure they have fun, and definitely in minor league baseball, and maybe even more at the single A level, where most of our players are either right out of high school or right out of college. They're not too known, so So yeah, it's more about the entertainment. Most fans leave the game not even know what the score was or maybe even who we played. It's more about the fun between promotions, the fireworks, the entertainment on the field, than the play overall.
So tell me, Jason, how that affects the way that the team sort of plans its marketing campaigns. Are you guys actually actively, say, almost avoiding promoting X, Y, and Z players if they're too good and know they'll be on their way out, and really focusing on being a fan of the game experience and as opposed to a certain player or even the Whitecaps as a team?
Yeah, I wouldn't say avoiding, but yeah, it's definitely a factor. We do promote players a little bit. And the local media really likes to talk with the players, so we'll send them to different appearances with local media sports. If we have a local guy, like this year we have a guy that actually went to Grand Valley State. So he's been pretty popular with the local media and the fans in general. So if we have somebody like that who's kind of local, who people know around here, we'll promote more. If we have a number one prospect or something like that, we'll definitely promote that. But yeah, overall, I think it's more about the entertainment at the ballpark. It's more about the experience that fans see when they come to a Whitecaps game.
So you guys really don't take much out of whether or not your fans know who the players are from a day-to-day basis. If they're walking down the street and they see or hear about a Derek Hill, are you guys sort of using that as a gauge for how engaged fans are?
I think it's a factor, but yeah, like I said, it's less of a factor than if people know that we're having Star Wars night, or if people know which promotions are coming up. If we have Family Day, Helen DeVos Children's Hospital Family Days on Sundays, we're more gauging if fans know those kind of type of things than if they know the names of our players, for sure.
Okay, and the way I see it playing out, at least in the Whitecaps content that I've seen on social media in particular, it really seems like because of that, maybe the fans really become front and center and really showcasing how much fun they have interacting with the team and being at games. Do you think, is that really a minor league sports thing, even more so than major pro sports, that it really makes the fans front and center and really engaging those that are interacting with you on social and digital and offline?
Sure. Yeah, I think that definitely makes sense. The fans are definitely our first priority here at the Whitecaps, and I'm sure across minor league baseball, we want to entertain them. We want them to have a good time, no matter if it's their first time here or their 100th time here. When they come to Whitecaps game, we definitely want them to enjoy it and definitely keep coming back.
And how do you then go about, when you do plan out engagement and content, how do you go about targeting it to the difference of, say, a casual or new fan that may have just come out to the ballpark because they want to try the fifth third burger challenge versus a fan who maybe has been following the team from day one or really knows and follows every single game and player and report? And does that affect the way you go about planning content and promotions?
I think content overall, yeah, it's just trying to get the word out about our promotions, about our games coming up. But also it's interacting with our fans. We have a lot of season ticket holders and people that have been here all 22 seasons that interacted with us on social media. And it's definitely great to use those fans and interact with them if it's comments on a post or things like that, just to make sure that they're valued as well as a newcomer fan.
Okay, I mean, it certainly does make sense that you're going to have a little mix of both and making sure that it's really just getting about having the information get out there over anything else. Okay. Before I transition to this episode's shareable stat, Jason, I did want to ask you about sort of the role that not necessarily your role, but the way that minor league sports works in general for someone that's in the sports business world. Do you see a lot of people in your position or at your level that are looking to jump to the next level, looking to jump whether it's in positions or especially to a more a major pro league? Or how does it sort of work from using minor leagues as a way to jumpstart your career? Or are a lot of people happy making their career at that level?
Yeah, I think it's definitely different for different people. Yeah, there's definitely some that their goal is to work for a major league club or a major league sports team in general. But then there's others, especially in our organization that they've been here all 22 seasons. Our GM, our president, obviously our owners have been here all 22 seasons. We have a few other executives that have been here 15 years. I think it depends on your personality and on what your goals are, but it's definitely different for different people. For me personally, I see this position as kind of a stepping stone within the organization. I love West Michigan. I love living in Grand Rapids, or just outside Grand Rapids is where I live, and love this area. So yeah, I see it more of a stepping stone than moving to a major league club.
Hey, what's your personal take, if you have one, on using the minor leagues as a place to jumpstart your career in professional sports versus trying to start out at a really low inside sales level with a major pro sports team?
Sure, I think one of the main advantages, and we kind of talked about it before, is that you get to see all aspects of the organization within minor league baseball. You get to, even if you're in ticket sales, an example, actually today, it's an April game here in West Michigan where we're going to get a good crowd, but not great. So everybody's got to be hands on deck. So we have some of our ticket salespeople going out in the parking lot to help direct cars today. And we were all out there this afternoon pulling the tarp off the field. So, yeah, you definitely get to see all aspects of the organization within minor league baseball. And it definitely helps as you're moving up within minor league baseball or jumping over to a major league club. You kind of see the business as a whole and kind of get a better perspective on both where you want to be and what kind of your abilities and skills will help in those minor league club or major league clubs.
That certainly makes sense. And at the end of the day, it really is what skills do you have when it comes to getting a job, and not, you know, what teams have you worked for? What do you bring to the table? It's a great point. Well, Jason, I could pick your brain all day about this stuff, and really, I kind of want to hear more about some of the gimmicks and food promotions that the Whitecaps have done too. But we'll have a little more fun with you coming up in our Just Jason segment. But first, let's get to this episode's shareable stat. Coming right back. Excellent conversation with Jason Brower, fan engagement and social media coordinator for the West Michigan Whitecaps. Really some good insight into why and how a minor league team really has to be versatile and nimble with their promotions and really has to prioritize the fan experience at the venue, something that pro teams maybe took for granted for a little bit. But now with people staying home in bigger numbers and not coming out to the ballpark or the stadium or arena, there really now is a renewed focus on the in-venue experience and something that the minor leagues have really prioritized all along the way. But we'll have a little more fun and get to know Jason a little bit more in our Just Jason segment coming right up. But first, we have this episode's shareable stat. And this episode's shareable stat looks back at the recent Masters Golf Tournament, recently completed as the taping of this podcast, and one that in which Jordan Spieth, 21-year-old phenom, I guess, took everything by storm, including the social media world, as on Masters Sunday, the day that he clinched that green jacket, his Twitter handle was mentioned over 60,000 times. 60,000 mentions of Jordan Spieth's Twitter handle, according to Topsy, on the Sunday in which the youngster won that Masters green jacket. So 60,000 mentions of Jordan Spieth's Twitter handle alone. That doesn't include just using the keywords or Jordan Spieth's name in tweets. So really the buzz was even bigger. So what does Jordan Spieth do? What do his managers do with all this increased buzz? And really, he took off the right way. in the days following the Masters tournament, when he was doing the talk show rounds and doing a bunch of interviews as the newly crowned Masters champ, he continued engaging that new audience that he found on Twitter. He kept the buzz going, kept the good feeling going by sharing pictures, sharing video, sharing a good amount of insight into what he was doing in the days and hours following the Masters championship clinching victory. And that's really what it comes down to, is when you get a bunch of new followers, you have to deliver value right away. Give them a reason to continue following you. Give them a reason to engage with you. Give them a reason to buy in and become more emotionally invested with you. And by giving his fans and new followers some insight into what was going on in his life, what he was feeling, what he was experiencing, and giving them more shareable content, it's really a great way to carry on that buzz that he got from Master Sunday. Whenever there's a big news event or something big going on that attracts a lot of traffic or an increase in followers, think about how can you make this buzz last as long as possible through content, through engagement, through contests, and really just delivering a good experience that will keep followers with you and get them to share what you're doing. All right, that's this episode's shareable stat. Think about it and keep it in mind the next time your brand or your team has a big moment or a big day when there's a huge amount of traffic and buzz coming your way. It may not be the 60,000 mentions that Jordan Spieth's Twitter handle got on Masters Sunday, but you know, everyone has their day in the sun, and it's all about what will you do with it and how can you make it last and take full advantage of it. All right, that's this episode's shareable stat. Hope you learn from it. Hope you enjoy it. And we'll be right back to have a little fun with Jason Brower, fan engagement and social media coordinator of the West Michigan Whitecaps, as we hit him up in our Just Jason segment. Coming right back. All right, that was this episode's shareable stat, all about Jordan Spieth making a lot of noise on Masters Sunday with over 60,000 mentions of his Twitter handle. And I know our guest knows a lot about Twitter handles going viral with some of the stuff that the Whitecaps have been known for. So what do you make of that stat, Jason? Has there been some moments when the Whitecaps Twitter handle has gone viral and you guys see a lot of growth?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know as much as Jordan Spieth after what he did yesterday, but we've had a few times. Yeah, when we get a Darren Revelle tweet or something like that. But yeah, that's definitely a lot of mentions for Jordan Spieth.
There's certainly a reason that the Whitecaps are a single-A affiliate that is known by a lot more people than most single-A affiliates are. All right, Jason, you survived your interview today. Are you now ready for our Just Jason segment?
I think so.
Let's do it. Number one, the best player you've seen play for the West Michigan Whitecaps and the best player you've seen play against the Whitecaps in person.
Being a fan of the Whitecaps for a while, a couple. Since I've worked here, this is my sixth season. Stephen Moya, who's the Tigers' number one prospect now, which he's about very close to making his major, to make it an everyday major league player. But he hit some of the longest home runs I've ever seen at this ballpark, which is very hard to do. It. We don't get too many home runs here. Players that have played against us, Byron Buxton, he was in the Twins affiliate, Cedar Rapids. He's number one prospect overall. He played against us a couple times. And one other one I want to bring up, being in the Midwest League, we get a lot of prospects. Actually saw Clayton Kershaw play here a few years back. So that was pretty cool to see. Guys coming right out of college, right out of high school, in the Midwest League, and then seeing him in the majors.
Oh, that must be unreal. And I'm sure they dominate the competition down there when they first come up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's great. All right, number two for you, Jason. The most unusual mascot in minor league baseball, and your favorite mascot in minor league baseball, besides the Whitecaps, of course.
Of course. Unusual mascot, I'd have to go with, and I pulled up a list a little bit ago about this, but kind of cheated a little bit, but the Biloxi Shuckers, I believe that their mascot is a clamshell. That's pretty strange. My favorite mascot, and they just switched names a couple years ago, the Akron Rubber Ducks. I think the Rubber Ducks name is is a pretty awesome minor league team name.
Oh, I love it. You can have a lot of fun just perusing and browsing some of the mascots in minor league sports, especially minor league baseball. That's great.
All right,
number three for you, Jason. I'm definitely curious as to this one. What is the relationship like between, say, the content teams or just the marketing teams in general between the Whitecaps and your major league affiliate, the Tigers, or even some of the other Tigers affiliates at the AA, AAA level, et cetera?
Sure. We have a great relationship with the Tigers. Obviously, being an affiliate with them since I believe it was 1997, so we've been with them for a while now. You get to know those guys over there. Max Slavin, who's their social media coordinator, I've got to know him the last few months, and been great to shoot back ideas on different stuff, be it spring training when he was down in Lakeland. If he saw some prospects that were coming our way or former Whitecaps, he definitely let me know. But yeah, overall, within the Tiger system, we're all pretty close, and if we have ideas, shoot back and forth. It's definitely something that we do.
That's very great to hear, and especially if there's an affiliate that's getting a player that's moving up from West Michigan, you can say, hey, make sure to ask him about this, or this guy's a good person to talk to because he's good in front of the camera, etc. So definitely cool to hear that collaboration going on. All right, number four for you, Jason. Tell me the promotion you're most proud of with the Whitecaps and why.
For this one, personally, it's kind of a big deal for me. Is our social media night best promotion of the year nominee in minor league baseball. We were promo of the month for the month of May. So that was pretty cool to see minor league baseball see that promotion and give it that type of an award.
And what was it like? What was social media night? Give us the quick rundown.
Yeah, every team does social media night. You can tweet and things like that, but we kind of went full circle and let our fans kind of choose, our social media fans choose pretty much everything that happened that night. So they, we had fans submit jersey designs, and then we put them to vote on our Facebook page. So the one with the most likes got designed and the players wore that night. We had fans vote on the giveaway. And a few other things. We do on our Thursday nights. We do a post game concert, so we let fans submit their local band nominees and let fans vote on that. So kind of overall, leading up to the game, we let our social media fans pick what was happening in the game, and then a bunch of contests throughout the game too.
Oh, that's awesome! That's great to hear. All right, number five for you, Jason. This is an interesting question. I'm interested to hear your response. The most effective fan touch point and or social network for the Whitecaps, and why?
I think for us, social network-wise, is definitely Facebook. Having the most reach to our fans, I think a family-friendly kind of atmosphere here, Facebook is... definitely a place that we reach out to most of our fans.
Okay, and that's the place where you guys get the most engagement as well, or just the best reach?
Yeah, definitely engagement as well. Because I think that's where our fans are mostly. Twitter for us are more of the baseball fans in general.
Okay.
So we put more of our promotional content on Facebook and. For Twitter, we put promotional content as well, but more of the like player moves and player info as well as more on Twitter.
Definitely makes sense. All right, jumping back to promotions, talking to Jason Brower, fan engagement and social media coordinator for the West Michigan Whitecaps. The best promotional night that the Whitecaps haven't done, non-Whitecaps version, that you've seen in minor league baseball?
For this one is... pretty easy. Seinfeld night. The Brooklyn Cyclones did Seinfeld night last year and just blew it out of the water. It was, definitely the best promotion I've seen. Within those, it won the Golden Bobblehead for the best promotion in minor league baseball last year. It was just crazy to see what they went into. Pretty much every aspect of the game was Seinfeld related. They had an Elaine dancing contest. They gave away Chuck Hernandez bobbleheads. They had the Soup Nazi was out, and then what was crazy is that like other characters from the show found out that they were doing Seinfeld Night. So once the Soup Nazi came, then they got a bunch of other kind of off characters from the show just came out just because they wanted to be a part of the experience.
Oh, it was so much fun. Like you said, really well executed at every level of the game. That's awesome. Yeah. Number seven for you, Jason. Tell me your favorite Whitecaps food offering of their crazy food offerings, especially one that you've tried. And how about the best food item in minor league baseball besides what the Whitecaps have?
Sure. For us this year, probably my favorite that I've tried is it's called Hot to Tot, which is we have tater tots. It's spun in buffalo sauce with pulled chicken on top with some blue cheese. So it's not as crazy as some other things we've done, but definitely the most tasteful that we've had. And kind of another one I wanted to bring up was we have our second baseman this year. His name is Joey Pancake. So being the Whitecaps, we had to come up with a food item for him. So we have the Joey Pancakes. So it's two pancakes with pulled pork in the middle with syrup on top. And that is also actually very tasty.
Oh, just sounds ridiculous, but ridiculous enough to be great.
Exactly.
All right, number eight for you. Actually, wait, is there one in minor league baseball outside the Whitecaps that you want to mention?
Oh, yeah. One that I would love to try. Yeah, there's obviously a bunch of crazy food items out there in minor league baseball. But one that I actually want to try, and I'll give a shout out to the Toledo Mudhens for this. They have a 15-scoop sundae. As in a full-size batter's helmet. I'm like, how do you...
Holy.
Yeah. How does anybody eat 15 scoops of ice cream? But it's definitely worth trying.
That is one massive brain freeze. All right, number eight for you, Jason. Fill in the blank for me in brief. The best part about minor league baseball is blank, and why?
For me, it's definitely the family fun, the entertainment. Being from West Michigan, I've been a fan of the Whitecaps since the beginning. Coming out here with my family and now working here and seeing other families enjoy the entertainment, it's definitely the best part for me.
Oh, I love it. And really, a lot of those small towns where people have been for so many years and so many generations, it really does feel like a family atmosphere. And the Whitecaps do a good job promoting that with their content as well.
Exactly. All
right, number nine for you, Jason, coming to the end here with our Just Jason segment. Tell our listeners a player to keep an eye on in the Tigers organization in the next few years. So someone that might be a star of tomorrow.
Sure. Yeah. This one was pretty easy. Wynton Bernard. He was with us last year. He was actually Midwest League Player of the Year, MVP last year. One of the greatest guys you'll ever meet. He'll do anything for you. Just the nicest guy. And his story is pretty crazy. He got cut by the Padres before spring training last year and actually went to a tryout with the Tigers and then ended up here in West Michigan and just won the batting title, won the Midwest League MVP, and was put on the 40-man roster this past offseason. So pretty exciting for him and definitely a great player to root for and look forward to hopefully seeing him with the Tigers someday.
Wow, that's a heck of a story, and it only irks me a little bit because I'm a Padres fan, and we let him get away, apparently.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
All right, last one for you, Jason. Let's assume the Tigers are gonna win the American League, of course. They'll be in the World Series. Who would they be playing in the National League this year?
Yeah, it's hard to not root for some starting pitching, and I think the Washington Nationals have probably the best starting rotation out there. So even though Max Scherzer's over there now with the Nationals, I think they're definitely one of the teams that can make it to the World Series.
You're allowed to root for former Tigers too, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Jason, you survived the Just Jason segment. A lot of fun there. Now your chance. Give us your social media all-star to follow us. Someone on Twitter or a blogger, who they are and why we should follow them.
Sure. Actually, I have two, kind of one in general, overall social media. Jessica Smith is a big one for me that I follow. at Ward, Jess Eagle, and she does a great job with her social and sports blog, and just a great follow. And then if in minor league baseball, if you want to learn more about the minor league baseball business, Ben Hill, who's at Ben's Biz, he does a great job. He tours minor league baseball throughout the summer, and has a great blog, Ben's Biz, that he writes for minor league baseball that has a lot of great content on the fun and the entertainment throughout minor league baseball.
Oh, some fantastic recommendations there. I will wholeheartedly second those. How about yourself and the West Michigan Whitecaps? Where can we find you on social media and any other digital presences?
Sure. Yeah, if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at J.A. Brow, J-A-B-R-O-W. And then the Whitecaps, we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, at WM Whitecaps. We're on Instagram, which is at Whitecaps. And then we just started Snapchat this past off season, so we're on Snapchat as well, WM Whitecaps. So, yeah, find us there.
Excellent, and lots of good content coming from the Whitecaps and from Jason, and it was fantastic to learn about all of it and some of the strategy behind it and how you guys come up with some of those fun gimmicks and food. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Jason. We really appreciate it, and we'll be rooting for the Whitecaps all season.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me.
So tons of fun, a great conversation with Jason Brower, fan engagement and social media coordinator for the West Michigan Whitecaps. Really a lot of good knowledge from him, a lot of good insight, a lot of good advice for folks that want to work in the sports business world like him as well. And we can't thank Jason enough for coming on the podcast, especially right as the season is kicking off for the Whitecaps. And I actually spoke to him hours before a game was about to be played. So a long season ahead for him, but clearly he is really good at what he does, and the Whitecaps are in good position to continue being one of the most talked about minor league teams in professional baseball. But that'll do it for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thank you again for listening. As always, visit the website for more content at dsmsports.net. Follow me on Twitter and definitely reach out with any feedback at njh287. And we'll see you guys next time for more talk in the digital and social media world and sports on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast.